Welcome to the Arise Shine podcast with Pastor Glenn Schleck. Today's episode, as well as every weekly episode, will feature teachings from the Bible from Pastor Glenn. If you have any questions about any of the messages or you'd like to contact us, please do so at rdugall@emmanuelloveland.org. God bless you as you continue to grow in Jesus.
Job, Miss Martha, Gracie, way to go, being brave. So our series right now, Honest Repentance, is such an important series. And it's so important because of the topics that we're able to explore. Today's topic, faith. Faith is one of those heart and soul matters when it comes to honestly just what we're doing here at all, and ultimately what it means to be a child of God, a follower of Jesus. And this series and the topics we're exploring, my hope, my intent is that they help us to get real with all of this, that we be real with ourselves, with God, and also with one another. Now, this account that we're looking at from Genesis 22 of Abraham and God testing Abraham, asking him, commanding him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. This account is the quintessential example throughout all of God's Word when it comes to understanding what faith truly is. So, with that being said, let's dive into this account here in Genesis 22 and a little bit before, a little ahead of it as well, some history as to how we got there. So, it started. Abraham was 75 years old. His wife Sarah was 65, 10 years younger. And God came to Abraham and he made a covenant with him. This covenant that God established with Abraham was basically promising Abraham that Abraham would be the father of many nations, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars on the sky and the sand on the seashore. That it would be through Abraham and through his descendants that the promised one would come, the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus. 15 years passed. Abraham's 90. Sarah is 80. Still no child. 10 more years pass. 25 from the beginning of when God established his covenant. Abraham at 100 years old, Sarah at 90. Isaac is born. A miracle baby in so many different ways. And now we come to where we are today. What we heard Margene read for us in Genesis 22. We have Isaac, but we don't know how old he is. It just says, then after a little while, boom, here we have this. So Isaac could have been a child, could have been a teenager, young adult. We're not sure exactly. The Bible is quiet on that front. Did not say anything. But God here puts Abraham to the test and says, Abraham, I want to take your son, your only son, Isaac, this miracle child, and I want you to sacrifice him. It was an ask that made no sense. This was a son that Isaac, or that Abraham, loved with all his heart. Understandably longing for him throughout Abraham and Sarah's life when they couldn't have children, and then for 25 years waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. He loved this son of his. And not only did it not make sense that he would kill his only son, but the fact was, this wasn't just about Abraham. Abraham had heard the promise that through Isaac, the Savior, the Messiah, would come. And so this ask was going to wipe out the hope of the entire human race. So how do you think Abraham felt about all this? Here he was being asked to destroy his family, destroy his marriage, because he also didn't say a word. God gave him this command to sacrifice his son. He said nothing to Sarah. He said nothing to Isaac. He said nothing to the servants. He simply, the next day, got up, said, "Isaac, servants, load up the animals. We're heading to Mount Moriah." And that was it. So what had Abraham have to have been carrying? Thinking, destroying my family, destroying my marriage, destroying the hope of the entire human race. We have no idea what he was thinking. We have no idea what he was feeling. Now, we can certainly step in, and I think we can surmise a whole lot of different possibilities if we put ourselves in Abraham's shoes and think, okay, if that was me, where would I go with this? Well, where might we go? We might be angry with God. God, how could you possibly make this outrageous request of me? It's just mean. It's like you're toying with me. Or maybe Abraham felt this sense of resignation. It's like, I give up. Hopelessness. Despair. Depression, even. Maybe Abraham was feeling anxiety. Kind of scared. What was going on here? Or it might have been, as we have it laid out for us, truly this complete and total trust that Abraham had that God was going to fulfill the promise that he had made to him. No questions asked. And in fact, we get this in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11, that Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. So this thought that, okay, Isaac was a miracle baby, God provided him. If I kill him, sacrifice him as God is asking me, God can raise him back to life. I believe that. So, Abraham, any way you look at it, don't kid yourself. Faith is not easy. It wasn't for Abraham. It's not for us. Being a follower of Jesus Christ is not for the faint of heart. It is not for weak people, as so many outside the faith look in and see. It is not for the weak. What God asks of Abraham seems, at least to me, to be an unimaginable request. And this request feels like there are zero positive outcomes that were going to come. To trust, to believe, to put your whole life into God's hands. None of this is easy. But that's exactly what God was asking of Abraham. It's exactly what God is asking of us. He says, trust me. Trust me. Now, this is all pretty heavy stuff. So I thought we need to lighten this up just a little bit, right? So we come back here. A picture that I found, or an image that I found, is from the movie Despicable Me, a few years back. Now, for those of you who haven't seen it, let me set this up. This is the animated movie, and we've got Gru, who is trying to save his three girls that he adopted, and then he gave them up, and now he realized his mistake, and he wanted them back again. So he is trying to rescue them from the true villain who's in this other ship. And what he's asking of the girls is that they trust him and they take this leap of faith. Let's watch. Have to trust me. I will catch you. The scene seemed a little precarious, a little perilous for those girls. Think for just a moment about some of the situations we find ourselves in. Probably not having to jump from one ship to another, tens of thousands of feet in the air. But what are the things that we find ourselves in? What are some of those times we find ourselves up against it and there doesn't seem to be any possible positive outcome? And what do? Where do we turn? Now here, everything turned out great for the girls. They were saved thanks to Gru and, of course, the minions. But in the reality of our lives, just because we have faith in Jesus, it does not mean that everything in our lives is going to turn out wonderful and fine. The reality is people die. Babies die. Children die. Youth and adults of all ages die. We get medical diagnoses that we don't want to hear. We get sick We have illnesses. We get diseases. We have cancer. We lose our jobs. We get into arguments with people that we love and care most about. Families fall apart. We stress over money issues and so much more. As Christians, just because we are followers of Jesus does not mean that we are immune from the brokenness of this world. It does not mean that sin will stay away from us and all the effects of it that we see in our own lives and in this world in which we live. But what does God promise? I will catch you. I will never let you go. And he makes that promise, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Even then, the Lord asks us to trust him and to trust his promises, even when we don't understand what it is that's going on. Even if things don't turn out like I want them to. Even if it seems everything is going completely wrong. I will catch you. And I will never let you go. The Lord is here for us. He's walking with us. He's promised through the ups and the downs, through the joys and through the challenges that we face in the craziness of what life in this world can bring our way. We can count on his faithfulness. And it is faith, trust, that connects us to the Lord. That is our lifeline. As we heard in the second reading from Romans 4, we're not justified. That is, we're not made right with God. We're not saved by our works, by the things that we do, by being good people, by doing everything right. That's not how we're justified. That's not how we're saved. We are saved through faith, through believing in Jesus and his promises. Now, the irony in this is that even this business of faith isn't something that we can take credit for. It's not something that we find or we come up with on our own. Faith is a gift. It's a gift that is given. It's a gift Ezra's going to be receiving in the waters of baptism here in just a few minutes. It's a gift that is given through the work of the Holy Spirit, through God's own word in our hearts and in our lives. St. Paul expresses it like this in Ephesians 2. He said, "For it is by grace you have been saved through" what? Faith. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." Gail Hine wrote this week's Bring It Home Devotions, the insert in your worship folders this week. She did an outstanding job. And a couple of things that I want to just lift up briefly, in addition to commending those to you, if you're not using the Bring It Home Devotions regularly, this would be a great week to step back in and put them to work. But Gail used the example, a couple examples, of faith as a muscle and faith as a lens. Very briefly, without laying out her whole devotion and everything that she wrote those 3 days. Faith as a muscle. Jesus, we heard it in today's gospel reading, where Jesus talked about this woman who came to him and he said to her, "Your faith has saved you." Over and over again throughout the gospels, we hear many times that Jesus is not out there measuring faith. He's not weighing faith to see if we have enough of it. What he's telling us is even the smallest faith, faith of a mustard seed, another example he used. If it's faith in Jesus, belief in him, who he is, what he has done for you, even if it's a weak faith, even if it's a tentative faith, it is a real faith and a faith that saves. At the same time, God desires that we exercise this faith, that faith not stay weak or tentative or small, but he wants it to grow. He wants it to be strong. And so the urging is that we exercise our faith. And we do that by living it, by trusting Jesus actively in the day-to-day of our lives. And as we share that faith, that hope that we have in Jesus with others in our lives. And then she talked about faith as a lens. And quite simply, that is to see all of life through your faith. Don't let faith just be this, an hour or so on Sunday morning. See your life, your family, your friends, your vocation, your recreation, everything that you are about through the lens of faith. To know that Jesus wants to be part and parcel of everything. Everything we are, everything we do, everything we think. He is here, desiring to be an integral part of it. As he says to us over and over again, I'll catch you. I'll never leave you. And so this series, Honest Repentance, it's faith that allows us to live this way, with honesty, with ourselves, before God, and with each other. Like I mentioned last week, discretion is advised. You know, we don't have to pour out our life to every stranger we walk by or every person we're sitting next to. But to be honest, living by faith means that we can drop the mask, that we can drop the facade, because nobody here has got it together. None of us do. We're not perfect. Life isn't idyllic. We're broken people who mess up, who say things we shouldn't, who do things we shouldn't, who go places we shouldn't. But honest repentance, a life through faith in Jesus, realizes the assurance of forgiveness that comes our way. That he says, I'll catch you. No matter how far we've fallen, no matter how many times we've fallen, I'll catch you. And I will never let you go. Friends, that's freedom to live in. Drop the facade. Let's live real with each other, with God, and experience the real freedom that comes in honest repentance. But what now for today? If you want to grab your insert to bring it home, it's also up on the screen. This is what I'm encouraging you this week. Whether you're in a time of testing, a time of questioning, a time of unsettledness, or a time of calm or peace, sincerely pray each day this week that the Lord strengthen your faith and trust in him through this time and season in your life. And may that be for Jesus' sake. Amen. And that peace of God, a peace that at times goes beyond our understanding, let it guard our hearts and our minds through faith for now and for life everlasting. Amen. All right, we're going to celebrate faith being given. Ezra and company, come on up and join me if you would.